Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of
Ecclesiastes chapter 11.
See what the Lord is saying? Don't wait until, say, maybe later on. I mean, don't delay in participating in the Lord's work and in sowing and reaping. If you will wait until the wind blow your way and until the clouds be filled with the rain, until everything is fine with you and everything is okay with you, you will never have part in the things of the Lord. You will never have part in sowing and reaping. God's people are to participate in sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, Galatians 6, that shall he also reap. And it's good, it's very healthy for the God's people to participate in the things of the Lord and be helpful and blessing to the children of God around them and even outside the gospel. Think about the message of the gospel that had been proclaimed for many, many generations from the time that Yeshua went to heaven, went back to heaven, and the Spirit of God came on earth. Think about the disciples and later on those that heard the message. Up till today, 2,000 years, the message of the gospel is being proclaimed door to door, Bible classes, through the pulpit ministry meeting, through the television and the radio and internet and newspaper and magazine and all the messages that are being proclaimed in one way or another, recording CDs, cassettes, and all the things that have been prepared in order to share the message of the gospel. Are we going to wait until the wind blows our way and the clouds are filled with water before we'll participate in that? We will never sow. That's what Shlomo said. He that observe the wind will not sow, he will regard as the cloud shall not reap. And therefore, notice what he says now in verse 5. There are things that we just do not know when and how they will happen. Verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in a womb of hair that is with a child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. You never know, beloved brothers and sisters. You never know how your prayer, your support, your help, and my help, all of us who work in the things of the Lord, you never know how God will use what gracious things that we have done in the Lord's things in order to be a blessing to people around us. We do not know the way the wind blowing. We either do not know how bones are growing in the womb of a woman that's going to give birth one day to a child. We do not know. God knows. And therefore, God doesn't want us to withhold and say, wait a minute, you know, until I make sure that everything is my way. And you never know how things will happen. The Lord is the one who knows all things. He's the one that makes all things. He's going to use your gracious giving and support in order to be able to lead others that will benefit from the grace giving that you have shown, that the people of God have shown. He's saying this to Israel. And he's saying it to us as well today. And so in verse 6, therefore, in light of what I said, don't wait until the wind goes your way, and don't wait until you know exactly every detail. Make sure, notice verse 6, he says, in the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Keep on sowing, he's saying to Israel. In the morning, sow. In the evening, don't withhold. Why? Because you do not know what's going to happen.
how the Spirit of God working, how God is going to use the support, the giving of God's people for the benefit of others. As he said earlier, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. One day the Lord will reward his people for their gracious giving, but also for their diligent in laboring, in doing that which he called them to do. So, and you will see how in due time you will also reap. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Another verse from the New Testament to link with it. Colossians chapter 3, and the verse is 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. But he, whatever the Lord have entrusted us to do, whatever responsibility that he had had, whatever he lay on our heart in order to participate in the Lord's work, we are to do it as unto the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, because God is being glorified and we can give thanks to him. He ultimately will use it for the glory of the Lord. I often like the story of the boy, this Jewish boy in Galilee, that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you remember in John chapter 6, how the Lord took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes of this little boy, and some said to him, you know, there's a boy here, but what is it? He had just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What does it amount? So many, there are thousands of people in Galilee, in the Galilee, there waiting there to be fed. And Yeshua took the bread and the fish, and he lifted up his eyes and he prayed to God. Can you imagine? And out of 5 loaves, 2 fish, more than 5,000 people had been fed. Amazing! Amazing! Of course, you know, you and I might say, this is not going to happen these days. I mean, how is it possible? Well, it has happened because the Bible teaches us this. God is able to multiply, to bless what we do for him, and to bring an increase. Wherefore, he says, sow in the morning, withhold not in the evening. Just keep on doing what the Lord have asked you to do. Be faithful. You never know what will happen. Eventually, the Lord is going to bless his word. So we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Kohelet chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, seek to be a generous giver. Verses 4 to 6, seek to be a diligent laborer. Now in verses 7 and 8, he continues, he says, listen, seek to be a pleasant person. A pleasant person. And so I'm reading verse 7. You see, in verse 7 now, he says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Then verse 8 he says, but if a man living many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So now in verses 7 and 8 he continued to speak to Israel. And then he's saying to Israel, listen, it's not only that it's important for you to be a gracious givers, not only that it's important for you to seek to be diligent laborers, but Israel, and he's saying to us as well, you also need to be a pleasant person. You know how it is so wonderful? I just came, as you know, I was speaking in the States, and I just returned back, and we were staying in a location where the young girl that was responsible there had such a cheerful heart, a cheerful voice. I had to call her, Irene and I were there, and I had to call her, listen, you know what, we are going to come to this place again just because the way that you presented yourself to us. Hello, how are you? How are you doing? You know, it was so pleasant. When you look around and everybody is gloomy and moody and sad in this sad world, this young, she was a believer in Yeshua. Apparently her father is one of the leaders in one of the local churches there, local assemblies there, and she was so cheerful. She was so pleasant. It is enjoyable to be listening to her and being in her presence because of the manner where she conducted herself. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be a generous givers and a diligent laborers, we also, Shlomo says to Israel, need to be a pleasant people, pleasant persons. It is very hard to be with one, you might say, it could be me, it could be you, when we are not pleasant, when we are not kind and gracious. In fact, sometimes people, when we behave like that, people can say, listen, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to be beside you even. Because you are not pleasant, you are not kind, you are not gracious. I cannot take it. I have enough problems at home. I have enough problems with this and that. Shlomo, Solomon is encouraging, Kohelet is encouraging the people of Israel to be pleasant. That's why he says, truly the light is sweet. And a pleasant thing it is for the eye to behold the sun. You know, when we look at everything bright and pleasant and light, it's such a joy to be there and to enjoy the sun. It is pleasant. It is sweet. But then, he says, time will come in your life when things will be not as sweet as before. It's not always going to be sunshine. It's not always going to be free from problems. Realize when good days are coming and you enjoy a pleasant time and a pleasant circumstances and a pleasant situation in your life, don't forget for a moment, because he says, notice in verse 8, but be aware and remember that dark days shall surely come in a world in which we live in. This world in which we live in is full of sin. This world in which we live in full of problems. Sometimes we enjoy and experience some great time. And the Lord, you might say, shining upon us. And we enjoy the presence of the Lord. He blessed us. He gave us a good family or a good home and a good job and a good situation in our life. And things are great. But other days will come when there will be trials. When there will be problems. And that's why Shlomo is saying to Israel, but if a man live for many years, and he rejoice in them all, he says, yet let him remember, zechor, remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. They are yet to come. All that is going to come is vanity, is heaven, is empty. Don't forget that. And again, I would like to connect this with the whole theme of giving. Because the whole theme of chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes is not to be selfish, to be gracious with others, to be sensitive to needs, to recognize it's not only me, it's not healthy. Spiritually, it's not healthy. And therefore, make sure that you are being a blessing to others. You are a generous giver. You are a diligent laborer, but that you are also a pleasant person. Because God is providing for you now. Deal in the right way with others. And then the time will come that you will be in a dark day. You will need as well that somebody will come and cheer you up and help you in a need. Don't neglect it. Shlomo is saying to the people of Israel, enjoy what the Lord has given to you now, but remember, don't neglect to remember. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can be so careless. Everything is fine. I care for no one else. It's only me, we say. And the Lord says, no, remember, you will experience some days of darkness, of choshech, in which you will say, Lord, I need some encouragement and help in these days. Enjoy the good days, but remember we live in a dark world, full of sin and vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith Kohelet. What shall it profit a man here under the sun? Without God, nothing will be profitable for anyone here under the sun. And so now, beloved brothers and sisters, after he presented these 3 points, Seek to be a generous giver. Seek to be a diligent laborer. Seek to be a pleasant person. Then notice what he says. Realize, live in such a way, realizing that there is coming a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, which not only the unbelieving world will not escape, even the people of God will have to stand one day at the judgment seat of the Messiah. And so in the last two verses of Kohelet chapter 11, here we see the last words in this chapter where Kohelet, where Solomon is saying, notice what he says in verse 9 and verse 10. He says in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." But, here is that but. In Hebrew the word is aval, but. "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Don't forget that, you know, this is also something we don't realize. One day we're going to stand before God. It's not a matter for us believers, it's not a matter of standing before God in order to be either saved or cast into the lake of fire. No, because our judgment has been met already. Yeshua HaMashiach paid for the price of our sins. But that judgment, called the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, or the judgment seat of the Messiah, is for believers. It's for how did we live our lives here on earth as believers. It's not a matter of how, whether we're going to go to heaven or hell. No, because that had been dealt with already during our lifetime when we have accepted that Yeshua have died for my sin, for your sin. He paid the price for our sin. We are forgiven once and for all. But it's an issue of how did we live our life from then to the time that the Lord will take us to be with Him in heaven. And so the apostle Paul also mentioned it in his writing. And I would like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, first of all. And you see how Shaul, that is Paul, said to the Corinthian brethren. He said to them in 1 Corinthians 3:11, he said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know you not," he continued in verse 16, "know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." See, Paul is writing to believers. The Corinthians were believers. But apparently there was so much disorder in the assembly, in the local assembly in Corinth. There was immorality. They were taking each other to court. There were pride and abusing gifts. They were fighting who is greater than the other. They were looking after gifts, external gifts, and priding themselves as I have this and I have that. And love and grace was not practiced there. So Shaul, Paul was writing to them. He says, "Listen, brothers and sisters of the local assembly here," he says, "you know, realize every man's work shall be made one day manifest. The day shall declare it." and it will declare it, because everything will be revealed before the Lord. One day, Corinthians, just like Israel, Ecclesiastes 11, one day we will have to stand before the Lord. How it's going to be? What will the Lord say? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Will he be happy with the manner whereby we lived our lives as a people of God? Shaul, Paul is writing just the same like Shlomo. Remember, they are writing by divine inspiration. Shlomo write by divine inspiration, Ecclesiastes 11. And Shaul, Paul write 1 Corinthians 3 by divine inspiration. Both of them believing in the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shlomo waited for the coming of the Messiah, while Shaul already have accepted the Messiah who came. But both of them writing by the same divine inspiration. And both of them are saying, listen, there is a day coming in which we'll have to stand before God. And Shlomo is saying there in verse 9, rejoice, young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee. Be thankful for what the Lord has given you, the young people, and so on. Young men, he says, but remember, he says, walk in the ways of thine heart. Have your heart desires here in this world with the help of the Lord. But really realize, know that whatever you do in life, eventually you're going to stand one day, will be reckoned before the Lord. Know for all these things, how you live your life, God will bring it eventually into judgment. You know, and every one of us can search our own hearts, don't we? Think about how many times we dishonored the Lord. How many times we should have done something and we didn't. How many times we should have said a right word, but we didn't. How many times we should have not said anything, but we had to say the right. How many times we could have helped somebody, but we didn't. How many times we sin against God, against the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. It's not a matter of our salvation now. Oh no, praise God. All our sins, so great and so many, have been dealt with once and for all by Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, when he died for us on the tree. But God is going to have to present before us how we lived our life. How did we conduct ourselves? And he said this to the young man, and of course, he's saying it to all of us. He said, for all these things, God will bring into judgment. Yavi'echa ha'elohim lemishpat. One day we're going to stand before the Lord. And you know, it would be so wonderful when he can say to us, you know what? I realize that you saw that you have done that wrong and you corrected it. You repented of that. You turn away. You have done something you shouldn't have done, and you repented, and you turned to me. You confessed these sins. What a wonderful thing is to know that the clouds, you know, sometimes we have clouds that do not allow us to enjoy the Lord. Dark clouds. Because we know we haven't been right with the Lord. No liberty, no joy, no purpose. We know very well. It's not that God had moved. We are the ones who have dishonored him. And he wants us to move those clouds, you might say. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God delights to have fellowship with his own children. He delights to have fellowship with us. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, listen, and I'm going to close with verse 10. In verse 10, Shlomo said, therefore, if you know that you need to be a generous giver and you are to be a diligent laborer, you are to be a pleasant person, and that you know one day the judgment is coming. Then he said, look, he concludes here. He said, therefore, notice the therefore is because of what he have already said in the previous verses. In view of what I said to you, Israel, in view of what he said to us all today, he said, therefore, remove sorrow. That word for sorrow comes from the Hebrew word kas, which means anger. Deal with anger. Remove it from your life. Don't be angry at God, like Cain was, And don't be angry with men. Learn to forgive. Learn to humble yourself. He says, remove anger from thy heart. This is internally. Don't harbor hatred and anger and covetousness and all that which is, and pride and all that which we keep inside, but not only inside. He said, but also, he said, and put away evil from the flesh. In other words, deal with it internally, which will lead you to deal with it practically. Remove all that which is wrong from your heart. Confess it, repent it, turn towards God, and remove it, put it away from your flesh, because childhood and youth are vanity. In other words, childhood, carelessness. Childhood represents carelessness, youth. You know, they are not like the older people, you know. They are just living carefree type of thing. They don't have as much responsibility as the older generation. So childhood and youth are ultimately really vanity. It's empty. Don't have anger and all that which dishonor the Lord in your heart, which will lead you to remove evil from your flesh and to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And that is the thought, beloved brothers and sisters, that Kohelet Shlomo is seeking to guide Israel for. Israel, make sure that you live life in a world that is filled with vanity in a way that is pleasing to God, and you will be blessed. The Lord will use you for His honor and for His glory and for His people around the world today. Well, may the Lord bless His word. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.